through the system and is absorbed faster than any other form of carbohydrate that would come from a starch liver. But at the same time, it's high in iron. Good. Now, if you put a piece of kiwi fruit, you have the perfect absorption of your iron into your bloodstream immediately with the vitamin C. In the morning. So, iron from the prune, iron from the almonds, along with a piece of kiwi or a piece of peach. Kiwi is higher in vitamin C than orange. You, at the same time, it doesn't have the reaction like an orange, and therefore you can absorb it better. But you can utilize orange with almonds by themselves. A citrus fruit doesn't combine too good. But for the sake of its vitamin C, the almond is the only nut that will bond with it properly and allow the iron to be absorbed in the seed. So there you have it. Very first thing in the morning of breakfast. And they all grow in what zone?
Zone one.
Now, the organs that are located in zone one are very, very important for their maintenance. And the preferential organ is located in what zone?
Lungs,
zone one. Your lungs is the preferential organ. Is located in zone one, within that framework of the calcium base, the structure. And therefore, if the food that is going in is not going to maintain a high anti-toxicity control over that area, what is going to happen to the body along further on in the day?
You become more toxic,
right? And no mucus. So, if you eat the heavy meat diet early in the morning, outside of the lunar period of the month. And the lunar period of the month is 3 days before the full moon, the day of the full moon, and 3 days after the full moon, a total of 7 days. If you eat outside of that, you'll clog up. If you eat within that period, the chances are it'll just pass through your system with minimal clogging.
The lunar 1 week period begins from when?
The full 3 days before the full moon, the day of the full moon, and 3 days after the full moon. That is known as the lunar cycle. And we call that lunar nutrition or potluck eating. But it's very valid for the body. Don't go saying that it's bad for the body. There's no such thing as bad. It is when it goes in, it has its value, versus when it goes in the wrong time, it is going to do its opposite. So it's valid for that time of the month. And I also have to admit it, because it sets the acid tone. You need a little acid and you need a little alkalinity. To be healthy, it's not 100 acid needed, it's 100 alkaline. It's 80-20, you have to have the balance. And that's one of the emphasis of macrobiotic, the acid alkaline tone, because in modern science is hammering it away, because that's what's so obvious in the chemistry. But the time, again, regulates its beneficial results. Minerals and vitamins now come in the morning.
Is that kiwi vitamin C as good as the black cherry and the orange for the lungs?
The kiwi still has higher than the black cherry.
So it's as good for the lungs or better for the lungs?
Yeah. But you have one disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
Where the orange or the citrus fruit helps the lungs in its vitamin C over the kiwi and the black cherry. Now listen. The kiwi and the black cherry will absorb iron into the blood. Mm-hmm. As a mucus phaser, it doesn't have citric acid. Mm-hmm. and mucus needs either malic or citric acid as a phaser dam, because it is a lactic origin. Since we are lactators, we are cellular creatures, we lactate. Therefore, our mucosity ratio builds up faster from the input or the storage of previous lactic products. So if you don't put in a type of seed that will phase it down, the other seeds will go in there and act as insulators, but not sufficient enough to phase off the mucus. It'll absorb iron, it'll absorb the other foods and minerals, but the phasing off would be slower. That doesn't say it will not insulate you from, it will insulate you, but it phase you down quicker with citrus. Now, if you were running a race, the evidence would be obvious. Because you start the race and you drink apple juice, you get malic acid. Then you keep running and getting more tired now, and then the lactic acid builds up. And if you drink apple juice, you'll get more tired and then you lose the race. If you use a kiwi, believing the vitamin C will be phasing off the mucus, it'll help you, but you wouldn't have the staying power. The black cherry, you wouldn't have the staying power, and you'll still lose the race. But switch into a citrus juice, which is vitamin C now, that will phase down the lactic acid, and you end up winning the race. That's how Ron won the race, and all his friends came, "What the hell did you do?" He said, "Meet the man that showed me how to do it." Yeah, there was a fellow who was very, belonged to a group of runners, and every Sunday they'd run and he'd lose the race. He lost a lot of money, they'd bet, you know, he could afford it. Then he says to me, "Dad, what am I running and losing? Is there any way that nutrition can help a person running?" I says, "Yes, do you want to, that depends on what you want to do." He says, "Well, these fellows are boasting so much, winning every time, and only because I know they've practiced and ran longer periods than me, but I can't catch up to them." I said, "It's very simple. When you want to run the race?" He says, "Sunday." He says, "What do you drink? No, what do you take?" He said, "Well, I take apple juice all through the race. And we run a whole 20 miles. And I says, "Fine, whatever you do. Tomorrow when the race comes up, you start off with your apple juice for the first lap of the race. And then the second lap of the race, you switch over to orange juice." He said, "Why orange juice?" I said, "Don't question. Just take the orange. Do they have it available?" He said, "No, there's no apple juice there. No orange. It's all apple juice there at the tables." But he says, I said, "You then carry your own little bottle of orange juice and drink it. Forget the apple juice." So this Sunday he started out. He had an extra bottle of a plastic bottle with a orange juice. He drank his first share of apple juice and started running. Well, he's up there, second in the group. And then he got to the table. Everybody reached over and picked up their apple juice. He opened his orange juice and he started gulping and running. So now you see everybody leaving him, and he's way up in front. Towards the end of the line, he's about 10 laps ahead of them. And he said, "I'm waiting." By that time, so "What the heck? How did you do it?" He said, "Well, I'll take it to the guy who's talking to me." That's with 3 more customers. But it was the understanding of what the lactic acid will do. Your body will produce lactic acid when it gets tired from running. The malic acid from the apple juice will phase it down first to give you the pep to run. But then it will not do that. It's like it reaches what is called an exhaustion level to phase down. So more apple juice will not phase down. The lactic acid will override it and the carbon dioxide will override it. So we switch into the citric acid, which was a totally shock to the lactic acid and to the carbon dioxide. But then the sugar content of the citrus fruit is like a high octane effect. That's why you see they go to Gatorade. But Gatorade has one disadvantage. They use a lot of carbonated water and so forth. But if you get your real citrus fruit and take it in, then it acts more like a super octane.
So you could use that in any workout you do then, couldn't you? You drink apple juice first?
First apple juice, then citrus juice.
Okay.
I'll have to prove it to myself first. It was the hardest
thing.
It works.
I did it last weekend.
Yeah. Okay. The minerals and vitamins are brought into the body by the fruits that you eat, the skins especially, and the seeds. But then it's the oil. Vitamin in the morning, you should get your basic 3 vitamins every morning in your meal. A, B, and C. More so, C. In this light zone or phase of the body, or phase 1 of your body, you should always have vitamin C every morning of some type, because it's the antitoxin vitamin. No other vitamin is assigned the antitoxin capacity. So if you don't put it in and you skip it, you are leaving yourself vulnerable for what? Accumulation of toxins. So for that reason, to say a person want to pop a lot of vitamin C into the mouth to make up for the deficiency of not putting it in is not necessarily valid, because they ended up with a lot of gas and headaches and wonder what happened. I'm taking my vitamin C down and I'm getting mucus. I said, what kind of vitamin C are you taking? Oh, good vitamin C, Thompson's or Natural Life. I said, I don't tell you a doggone thing, but I said, what's it made from? Oh, read the label. It's made from corn. And you taking it then in the morning? Be my guest. You deserve your clog up stomach. Then they asked me why. I said, corn don't grow on trees in the morning. It grows in the middle of the day like a bush. Now if you need vitamin C in the morning, I would suggest you either get acerola cherries, because that's the only way they can store it from the cherry level, or rose hips. But it's best to get it from the acerola cherries. You can't store it out of oranges. They don't extract it from oranges, unless you go eat oranges. So if you want to pop in a lot of vitamin C, it's nothing wrong with it. But I don't say most people would use the enzymes of their mouth to digest vitamin C. They'll usually swallow it and go on down. I won't call them machines or run them. I pump them out of my patients. I pump them out of my stomach too, undigested. Vitamin C, though, she's been around. She's been there, and a lot of people have seen it. That you call them get clogged, no? From just popping in the vitamin that's not going to digest. And it's also from the wrong time, maybe. That if you put in the vitamin C from the cherries or from the fruit itself, where it dissolves in the saliva, you don't have the problem. In the morning, you have your kiwi, you have your citrus fruits, you have your cherries. They do set the high level of vitamin C for that part of the anatomy.
Would that be both of the meals, the one at the very early on and the one at 9:30 or so?
I prefer to eat 6 meals a day than 3 large ones, and this is where I would say you're healthier in the end, because if you don't eat a large meal at the initial start at 8 o'clock, you get a small little bowl of the nuts and the prune or a kiwi fruit or some cherries or something, then that small quantity is enough to carry you through from 7 to 9. Then from 10 to 12, which is the next 2 hours, you're running into your spleen time, you need something of a smaller quantity as a backup. Most people make that their coffee break, wherever they work. Instead of having a coffee break, have a little orange juice. as a vitamin C backup.
So you really spend time with your both meals?
Mm, yeah. No. But also you need the hormone balancers, because we are running by hormones, you know, we don't only run by food. And if you don't put in your hormone balancers, you're going to go out of harmony with your body. So at that period of the day, some people said, don't take coffee. Coffee is bad for you. Now I come along and says, providing you know when, it's not bad for you. That really freaks them out. But I don't drink coffee anymore. I said, okay. I'm not going to argue with you. But you're still feeling tired. Why? Because your hormones are off. Now if you take a little, and it's not too much, it's medicine, not. So Folger's coffee. I remember what brand I said. Not Mayor and Club. Folger's coffee, Moncton grown. 1 cup, not more, of it, with a teaspoon of Hershey's baking cocoa and maple syrup to sweeten. These three, taken around 10 o'clock, is your hormone balancer. Folger's coffee, 1 cup, a teaspoon of Hershey's baking cocoa, and maple syrup to sweeten. So you may a teaspoon or a little more, but it is to sweeten. Stir it all up and drink that, and that around 10 o'clock is your hormone balancer.
So we need a hormone balancer pretty much daily and not just like
when. That's right. Now you're only taking it once a day.
Right.
And the hormone balancer is taken in at spleen time, which is to regulate the blood sugar. Now spleen regulates blood sugar. Pancreas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. But on the chart there is no pancreas, so the spleen and pancreas are interrelated. So for the regulation of the blood sugar. Now people who suffer from hyperglycemia, 99% of the time, have high blood pressure. 1% of the time they may have low blood pressure. And around spleen time, that's when they start to get highly irritable.
Mm-hmm.
People who suffer from hypoglycemia, that is low blood sugar, 99% of the time, have low blood pressure. 1% of the time, it's reversed. So nature is peculiar.
So they still, but do they get irritable with that?
No, they get very...
They get sleepy.
Sleepy and want to crawl off in the corner. And
then I get irritable, but I think I have low
though. Now the one that gets irritable is the reverse of it, see? But when you're sleepy, you have the low pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then they are the more problem, because the hypertype will get diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-hypertype would be the hypoglycemic. You have to put in the hormone balancer there. Now, by taking the cocoa, the maple syrup, and the coffee, the first thing I'm going to tell you, I can't take cocoa, I can't take coffee because why? I'm hypoglycemic or I'm diabetic, you know, and I can't use sweet. I don't say if you're not diabetic if you want to take that. But I'm telling you when to put it in and see the difference. And then go have a checkup after. If you won't function or not function at all. At that moment, they discover the unusual phenomenon. That the blood sugar starts to do what it's supposed to do on time for the first time. Then it starts. But it's going in as medicine in the form of food, not as medicine in the form of medicine. That's the vast difference of it. You're using your food at its time input to act as a medicinal condition for something that went wrong somewhere along the time before you came up to it to have that breakdown. So it restores it. And 9 times out of 10 when we check back, the cause of it going out is usually a trauma that throw it off. But that's research into ourselves. But at that time of the day, at spleen time, you need your hormone balances for a hyper or hypo condition to the body. And it's not 2 cups of coffee, or it's just 1 cup. No.
Is there an alternative to the coffee?
Caffeine seems to be a threatening word to a lot of us.
No, I've never drank coffee. I've never developed a taste for
it. It's not the taste. The cocoa has comes from a cocoa bean. The coffee comes from the coffee bean. When the two come in contact, what is called caffeine has no effect on the body's organs at that time of the day when mixed with maple syrup, no matter what it is. But if you took Bearland Club coffee, you'll get a reaction because that is not grown the same way. And that comes from a different plateau of light. Folgers coffee is the one we infer in the morning. I will not drink Maryland coffee in the morning, but I drink Maryland coffee in the middle of the day. But I will not drink Folgers coffee in the middle of the day. I drink Folgers coffee in the morning. So if somebody says, Adana, let's go for a cup of coffee. I says, yes, but I'll tell you where we can go and drink. We're going down to Jojo's in the morning. If it's in the middle of the day, how surprised? Because I know the type of coffee they're selling and using, mm-hmm. and where they grow, these coffees grow. It's more important to know where the plant grows and the time of day you put it in, instead of living with the fear of the chemistry mm-hmm. that is going to hurt your body when it's not really valid. So I drank a lot of coffee, and I never drank coffee. I drank a lot of other things. Only find out it is not the abstinence or overindulgence, it was a whim that made the difference.
I think what I didn't understand was I don't drink coffee because I just never learned to drink coffee. I'm looking for an alternate hormone balancer. You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. But nature made caffeine in opposition to cocaine in conjunction with maple syrup as a gum to be a hormone balancer. She's giving a poison to the system at a particular time of the day to act as a food. That's her game. I never liked coffee either. I grew up in South America, I never touched this stuff till I came to America. A lot of things I came and did in America, I never did in South America. And then I labored myself and traveled with all kinds of illusions about the thing themselves, only to find out if that was not the real cause. The real cause of why these things come into the system at the right time is to act as medicine. They may seem threatening from their sources and their labels, but when you're dealing with the time lapse in terms of the body's utilization, the body needs a little of that caffeine for a very good reason. Just needs a little of that cocaine for a very good reason. But if the way it's coming in, it's absorbed and transmuted by the light in the plant for the purpose of the organism of the man. How is he divided up? Zone 1. It's bordering into zone 2. Where is the spleen coming in now? Right behind the rib cage down here. you're in from zone one into zone two. It's a transition zone. Then the next is going to be heart, which is midday up to from 11 till 1 o'clock is the heart, right? That's your transition, where your heart is located. Up in zone one, going down to the lower part. So nature is setting these laws to work within the earth and earth. Now, I have good friends who died, went to work, get their food, and not for me to condemn them. They had to eat their way, and what they did. They called me and said, your friend died around 1 o'clock, quarter to 1, half past 12, quarter to 1, from a heart attack. I says, yeah, nothing unexpected. I expected that would be the time. And I said, he simply died from lack of oxygen. How do you know that? I said, that's what a heart attack is all about, at that time of the day. He says they couldn't get the resuscitator down in time enough to save him. He ate a good meal, came back to his office. By the time they got there, it was too late for the oxygen. Now, by the same token, if he had died at that time period at night, which is, I say, 12:45 in the evening, he'd have died from lack of carbon dioxide, not a lack of oxygen. Because the body was not phasing out the oxygen. It was coming in too fast. So the carbon dioxide was not building up sufficient to hold the gallbladder. And therefore the heart attack would be there, he would die. So a person dying at night from the gallbladder time with a heart attack would be that problem. Now I had a patient like that. Their mother was staying at my place and I had to go out. It was Christmas. And they called me and said, Dan, come back quick. My mother just had a heart attack. And I look at the clock and I see gallbladder time. I said, I'll get there as quick as I can. Try not to get her oxygen. No? Too late. They panicked with their friends where they were staying. They called the ambulance and the ambulance got there. What was the first thing the ambulance resuscitator would do? Stick oxygen up in the woman, mouth. And lo, she arrived at the hospital, DOA. Dead on arrival. I couldn't come in. When I arrived, it already have it in her mouth. I can't stop the process because they'd already city taken over. I had to stand by and watch. And I said to the doctor, I says, you know, what I told you over the phone. He says, we tried, but we were staying with this friend, so they were the ones that called. The ambulance, they panicked. I said, incidentally, next time, at this time of the night, somebody have this kind of a problem, do yourself a favor. Take a paper bag, put it over the head for a few seconds, and pull it off. Save the life. That would say, how are you? You've taken away the oxygen. No, you're not taking away the oxygen. You're giving them more carbon dioxide for a split second to infuse the oxygen. It's like, you ever clean a sink when it's stuck up? Do you do what to it first? Before you let the thing? Yeah, you push it down,
yeah.
And then you do what? Good, exactly. Why don't you pull it up first? Before you push it down.
It's not made that way.
Huh? It's not made that way. That's the funny phenomenon, the same with your body. But we never look at it that way till we got to face it after the person is gone. It's not compulsory to take the coffee, but it's, I say, that's the time of day it's used, and there's no other that I know of that is valid to act as a hormone balancer in the morning that will do the job properly.
What about instant coffee?
Instant coffee, it's alright, it's free from caffeine. It's just that the coffee has a particular interfacing effect. All the caffeine is never taken out of instant either. So this is just a small percent. It interfaces with the cocoa, with the maple syrup to trigger that reaction to stabilize the hyper or hypo condition in the body, in the hormones.
Okay. So it doesn't, the decaffeinated, something like that, you wouldn't need it because you need the caffeine.
It won't do it any damage. It's just the fact that it's going in there slightly.
So it's the time of day. Because when I drink coffee, usually I drink it in the morning, but it's not Folgers, and it makes my body
dingle
too fast.
Yeah, because
and it